Heavenly Father, as we come to look at your word and what you are trying to tell us today, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, that we might be able to hear your voice speaking to us once more. Amen. So for those that have been following, you'll know that we are looking at the book of James, and we've got to James chapter 2, and what you just saw in that video was a spoken word representation of what we see in the first 13 verses of chapter 2. And so we're looking at don't have favourites. Show no partiality. But hang on a minute. We do have favourites in life. I mean, favourite computer games. I know I've got mine. Favourite DVDs. Though, I have to admit, with these three, it's hard to choose between them. They're all so good. Some of us, if we have enough of them, even have our favourite Bibles. We can have our favourite food, our favourite ice cream, our favourite crisps, our favourite song. We have favourites. So clearly, some favouritism is not a bad thing. I don't think God looks down on us and says, "Why have you chosen that ice cream flavour as your favourite? You shouldn't be having a favourite." I don't think that's a bad thing. So what is this passage talking about? Well, in verse 4, if we can have the next slide, please, it says that discrimination is bad. But in life, we discriminate as well. When people are interviewed, for example, we want certain things from the person that we're looking to fill the role. You wouldn't, for example, be looking for a practicing Muslim to fill the role of a church leader with a spiritual oversight responsibility. Nor would you be looking to employ someone who is technologically illiterate to be a computer programmer. Certain requirements need to be met, and discrimination on that basis makes total sense. So what is James saying? Well, I think he's saying two key things with this. In verse 8, James recalls Jesus' commandment to love our neighbours as ourselves. And when we combine that with what John says in chapter 3 of his first letter, we see what this means. We are beloved children of God. As we heard in the sketch, God's very clear. He has no favorites. Not one's beloved and one's slightly less beloved. One's liked and the other one, yeah, they'll do. That's not how God works. We're all beloved children of God. So if we are beloved children of God, and Jesus says to love our neighbour as ourself, we can combine those two to say, well, okay, we should love ourselves as we are loved by God. We are beloved children of God. We need to love ourselves as beloved children of God. And if we love ourselves as beloved children of God, and we love others as we love ourselves, then we need to love others in the same way. We need to love others as beloved children of God. So that's the first thing. Love others as beloved children of God. The second thing James is saying is don't judge others. And not in a way that we'd use our judgment on the actions of others. It's not like saying, well, okay, we can't judge someone because they did a bad thing. If it's very clearly bad, there's a judgment call that we would make. God's not saying don't use your judgment in that side of things. But rather, judging that others are worth less than us and without mercy. Don't look to others and say, I'm better than them. They're not as good as I am. Making that kind of judgment. And why? Because if we judge, then we will also be judged. And without mercy, if we judge without mercy. And Jesus pointed to this in the parable of the unmerciful servant. The servant who was forgiven of a great debt, but then didn't forgive a servant that he worked alongside of a smaller debt than he was forgiven. So we see in Matthew 18, verses 34 and 35, Jesus finishes the parable saying, and in his anger, his master sent him to the torturers until he could repay all he owed. That is how my heavenly Father will deal with you, unless you forgive your brothers from your heart. If we judge others without mercy, when we are judged by our Heavenly Father with mercy, God says no, that's not how things should be. And that we too will be judged without mercy. So we've got our two things there. The first, to love others as beloved children of God. And the second is not to judge others, but instead to show mercy. But there is a third thing that we can also remember from this passage, which is particularly relevant in a church setting, actually. In verse 5, James reminds us of Jesus' teaching that the poor will inherit the kingdom. And as part of that, those in the kingdom are a royal priesthood. Now, as members of Christ's church here on earth, we're all called to Christ's royal priesthood. The verse in Peter chapter 2 talks of us being this part of a royal priesthood we're all called into when we become followers of Christ. Which means that no one's better than any other, and no one is worse than any other. We are all royal priests in God's church. We are all sinners who have been saved. We are all gifted by God in various differing gifts. And so, yes, we will be different, but we're all called to share Christ with the gifts that we've been given, with the world around us. And that's the key thing, if we're a part of the royal priesthood. We may share Christ differently and with different people, but we all are called to share. There's a reason why the first level of ordination in the church is called deacon. It's a name that's mentioned in the Bible for people having roles of leadership within a church. Not because they're held up as being this amazing, fantastic favourite of God's, but because the word means servant. It's the Greek word for servant. And Jesus told us that if we want to be great in God's kingdom, then we should be looking to serve in all that we do. So the role of this royal priesthood, this royal servanthood, I think we could rename it, is that we are called to serve those around us. And towards the end of the service, we'll be commissioning a new pastoral team. This pastoral team is not someone that we are raising up as a church and saying they are our favourites. We're not saying these are the amazing people and you lot, well, you're okay, but you're not as amazing as these guys. That's not what we're saying when we commission this team. The pastoral team is being called for a very specific role within this church, but we all have roles within this church. I remind you all that every single believer present, in church or watching online, you all have your own commissioning. When you came to faith, you were commissioned into your role within the church. Now you might be wondering, Phil, hang on, what is this? They never said, right, we're commissioning you, you've now become a Christian and you are commissioned. They never said that. They threw some water on us, they prayed for us, and that was how we started our journey. Well, when you became a Christian, you were commissioned by God. You were brought into the royal priesthood of all believers and commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded. Everything that Jesus commanded. That is your commissioning as members of the church. You don't have to be ordained and have a dog collar. You don't have to be the youth worker wearing a really cool hoodie every time he turns up to church. You don't have to be a special person with a label on your chest saying who you are. You're called to spread the name of Jesus to the world around you. Some people, it may be that means they actually go to other places in the world. Some people, it's just being where you are in your local community and staying there and sharing Jesus with them. But each one of us is commissioned. God shows no favorites. He gives us all the same calling to join in with his ministry. And if God shows no favorites, I think it's fairly safe to say that neither should we. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you didn't show favoritism towards certain members of your creation, but that you came and you were born as a baby and died on a cross for every single one of us. And that when you returned and commissioned your people, you didn't commission them saying, some of you can do this and some of you can't. You said all are to go out and to share you with the world. And so, Father, we pray that you would continually, daily remind us of the commissioning you have put upon our lives. That we would be drawn to you, drawn to sharing you, that more people might know of your amazing love for your world. Amen.